Today might be called Preacher's Moving Day, a day when the Methodist preachers move into their newly appointed churches, and a day when it becomes more difficult for pastors to arrange for substitutes. So I was probably on the bottom of the list. Pastor Kip asked if I would preach for him while on vacation today, and remembering that I had informed this congregation on two previous occasions that preaching is not my thing, I hesitantly said, okay. Despite that, I was honored to be asked, and I am very honored to be here with you this morning. May we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. I pondered what I might speak about today, and in several instances, over a few days, the same single thought came to me. Peter's denial that he knew Christ when he was taken away to the house of the high priest. The servant girl noticed Peter in the group and said, "This man was with him," but Peter denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. "I don't know him. I don't know him. Isn't this the same man whom we see in Matthew 16, 14 to 18, when Christ asked his disciples, 'Who do you say that I am?' And Peter answered, 'You're the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus replied, 'Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church.'" We know that Peter was fearful in his betrayal, but we also know the closeness that was between him and Jesus. So my questions to us all this morning are, do you know Jesus? Or do you know about Jesus? Are we relegated to saying simply, "I don't know him"? I read a story of a man who really had been down on his luck and without a job, and he had grown desperate to make a little money. He decided to apply at the city zoo, hoping to at least be able to feed the animals. The manager of the zoo had no opening, but seeing how big a man he was, the zoo manager offered him another position. "Say," he said, "our gorilla died the other day, and he was one of our most popular exhibits. If we got your special gorilla suit, would you put it on and imitate him for a few days, at least until the new gorilla arrives? We'll pay you handsomely for that." The man was so desperate for work, he agreed. In fact, after a few hours, he really got into the part. He's beating on his chest, shaking on the bars. Huge crowds gathered. "Maybe this won't be so bad," he told himself. But one day, he was swinging on the trapeze and lost his grip. His momentum carried him over a tall chain-link fence into the middle of a lion's den. Looking up at his intruder in his domain, the lion gave a ferocious roar, and the crowd was mesmerized. What was the gorilla to do? If he cried out for help, it would reveal his true identity. He slowly walked backward, away from the lion, hoping to climb the fence back into his own cage. The lion, however, with a hungry look on his face, began to stalk him, step by step. Finally, in desperation, the gorilla hollered, "Help!" Immediately, the lion answered in an annoyed whisper, "Shut up, stupid, you'll get us both fired." You see, things are not always as they appear. There are many people today who claim to be Christians, who may even think that they are Christians. but perhaps they're not. Some 80 to 85% of those claiming to be Christians are not aware even of what it means. When asked if they're Christians, they reply, "Of course, I go to church." That's like saying I'm a golfer because I own a set of golf clubs, or I'm a surfer because I own a surfboard. To be a golfer, you need to golf. To be a surfer, you must surf. To be a Christian, you need to know Christ and to walk with Him. More and more, I find myself disturbed when I see or read about beliefs and knowledge in the world of our Lord Jesus Christ. Some while ago, while browsing the internet, I happened upon a scene in Manhattan. Gallup was taking a poll about Christian beliefs. I was dumbfounded by the answers given by people who were questioned, "Who is Jesus?" The answers, "I don't know," or "I have never heard of Him." I read the following comments from unbelievers on the internet when they were asked the same question about knowing Jesus. One responded, "It saddens me greatly to see Americans in the 21st century obsessing over God and Jesus and unable to comprehend where they fit in the overall scheme of things with regard to religion and in particular Christianity. I am so thankful I managed to wrestle myself free from the narrow view of the world that I see and the incessant guilt over every little decision made on a daily basis. There is no God. I realized this on my own and through using my own brain. We all think there's a God because our parents told us and their parents told them and so forth. Be free." Another comment. "This is totally baffling for an atheist such as myself. If you really know someone, you talk to them and they talk to you. In short, you communicate with that person. But when I ask Christians what Jesus says to them, they can never give me an answer. Do they hear a voice or see Him before them? No. Does Jesus warn you of bad things that are about to happen? No. Or good things? No. Does He say interesting things? No. So, knowing Jesus is one-way traffic. Makes me think it's all wishful thinking, and their friend is not only invisible, but also non-existent." End of quote. These answers were all from people from our younger generations today. How can this be? How would we answer these young people today? These people who do not believe continue in that state of mind because no one has really convinced them of a reason to believe. Perhaps this statement from Francis Bacon, many years past, still holds some truth. He stated, "A little philosophy inclineth man's minds to atheism, but depth in philosophy bringeth man's minds to religion." These examples convince us that we Christians need to work harder to tell the good news. Do they convince us that we need to know Jesus more? What's the difference between knowing Jesus and knowing about Jesus? Knowing someone implies a relationship. Knowing about them does not. If we are really Christian, it should then be all about our personal relationship with Jesus. Knowing Him intimately is essential. Oswald Chambers said, "Until Jesus Christ is truly our Lord, we each have goals of our own which we serve. Our faith is real, but it is not yet permanent. And God is never in a hurry. If we are willing to wait, we will see God pointing out that we have been interested only in his blessings instead of in God himself. How often are we indifferent to our responsibilities in living a life for Christ? Are there times when we think he'll forgive us and we'll be okay regardless of how we live? Jesus said, "I am the truth." The fact is, it is impossible to come to the knowledge of truth unless we know Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, many Christians do try to come into this knowledge through other means. Most don't do it on purpose, nor even realize their error. But what winds up happening is that we acquire a factual knowledge of the things of God and then try to live in it based on the futility of our own natural minds. We have to do more than just learn facts about Christ. We have to learn Christ. We can see why professing Christian people, as sincere as they may be, can be so easily deceived. We find the cause as to why we can be tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine and cunning craftiness. Probably most of us don't really know him. This is alarming, since according to Jesus himself and according to so much of the New Testament, primary job of the Holy Spirit today, the purpose of God is to reveal Christ so that we can personally know him. There is nothing more necessary than knowing Jesus Christ in an inward, personal way. This is equal to knowing the truth, is what it means to walk in the light as he is in the light. It is what it means to be set free. If you wanted to work for the United States government as a person who is able to identify counterfeit currency, the focus on your training would not be the study of various counterfeit bills, but on the study of real currency. It is only when you know the real money that you will be able to immediately spot the fake. So it is with spiritual discernment. The only protection against the ways of Satan is the truth of God in Jesus Christ. We have to personally know Jesus. Only then can we know what is not in Christ. Paul wrote that in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Thus, it is only as Christ is personally unfolded to us through the work of God's Spirit that any wisdom or knowledge that is of a spiritual value becomes ours. They are in him. They are not available outside of him. Yet Christians by the millions continue to try to figure out truth and seek to decode the Bible using brain power, superstition, and the old traditions of men. But in Christ alone is true knowledge. To know him personally, he must first live in us. It is impossible to know him otherwise. Jesus alluded to this in John 3:3. He said, "No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." But once Christ does live in us, then we must grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18. In fact, this growing to know him is the very core of the purpose of God. God's already promised that he will reveal Christ to us. Our responsibility is to submit to him as he does. We must be sure that once we are saved, that we do have Christ in us, that we do have new life. And because Christ is the light, he offers us all the potential knowing him. But just as real is the condition of our own minds. By nature, we have no truth in us. We are eager to know the truth, but we will not confess our untruth. especially if it means confessing the underlying place in our hearts that may not have been right with God. Well, that is where we most often fail. It's one thing to believe God loves us, but it's quite another thing to actually be governed by His love. For that, we must come to know Christ's love in such a way that we can fellowship with God. It is this relationship that God wants. It is this relationship that God wants. It's another way of saying that we are walking in the light as He is in the light. We have to unlearn error. We have to be set free from the false relationships we have with God. The key is really in our hearts. Do we seriously want to know Christ, or do we have other goals? It'll come down to that choice. God wants to make us holy and pure. It is this condition of holiness, oneness in heart toward God, that will ultimately enable us to see the Lord. Hebrews 12:14. And Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Can we see what this means? It means that the work of the Holy Spirit is to purify our hearts toward God. That's the key. Not information, not theology, not brain power, not a degree in religion. No. The key is knowing Jesus, and thus rightly related to God. And then all of the theology and all of the stuff will fall into place. So, if you find yourself perplexed, don't ask God so much for direction or information. Ask Him for a greater knowledge of Jesus. His answer will probably come in the form of an opportunity to have your heart purified. Then and only then can we see God. And then our prayer to know Christ will be answered. The fact is that knowing Christ in a personal way, in an inward way, is the purpose of God. And a purified heart is how God accomplishes it. This might explain why so often God is silent when we ask Him to show us things. He cannot show them to us. He wants to, but He has to show us Christ. He has to purify our hearts, make us true to Him, or we will never get far in His purpose. Christianity is Christ in us. But the Christian life is then an ongoing revelation of the person of Christ, the forming of Christ within, having Christ revealed in us. Everything else depends upon this, for Christ is the rock. You and I need not be deceived. Focus on Him. Yield to God. Let God make our hearts pure. Let Him make us true. We don't need a guru. We need Christ to know Him in every way. So, do we know Jesus? To answer in short, I cite 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 to 6. We know that we have come to Him if we obey His commands. The man who says, "I know Him," but does not do what He commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys His word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. It has been said many will come to know Jesus as the way. A few more go on to know Him as the truth, but very few go on to know Him as their life. Let's ask ourselves this morning, which are we? Which am I? Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is taken from an old Cokesbury hymnal, one that I feel certain you'll all remember as Joy is Playing. Into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus.